Hi, welcome to La Cosa Nostra. I'm Edward.
I'm Noah.
And today we're covering Spike Lee's 2018 BlacKkKlansman. This is quite something, I have to
say.
It
is quite something. Like, if you've never... I'm not sure if this is the best Spike Lee film that you should watch if you're just... if you've never seen one before.
I think obviously Do the Right Thing is probably the movie you should start with. Yeah. I haven't seen it yet, so this was my introduction into Spike Lee's world. And I have to say, I'd never really seen anyone talk about him like this, but he's quite an Afro-surrealist director. Like, his style is very much that reminiscent of kind of Atlanta and almost like it's got this kind of surreal element where it feels like, although this story is a true story, it doesn't feel like it could be real.
Yeah, I forgot to check afterwards, like, if everything happened in it. But Spike Lee, I think he's one of, like, I don't know too much about him because I just started getting into his films. But it's like, he is one of the most interesting directors. Like, Do the Right Thing is one of my favorite films I have ever seen. And it's just, he is so good at making the public aware of Black relations in America. Without forcing it down your throat or anything. Mm. You get a mix of really good filmmaking, really interesting, unique filmmaking, and you also get, like, a lot of really good social commentary as well. So, yeah.
So, should we have a chat quickly about performances in this film?
Yeah.
So, obviously, just covering quickly the plot, it follows the main character, played by John David Washington, who is a Black man, a police officer in Colorado Springs. He one day decides that he wants to go undercover and, like, discover about the Ku Klux Klan. Obviously, he can't because he's a Black man and they're kind of a very dodgy group. And so he gets a stand-in double called Flip, played by Adam Driver. And then there's various other members of the police department and various members of the Ku Klux Klan in this film. One of them is in Cobra Kai. Don't know.
Really? I've never been like a Karate Kid kind of person. So, like, I've seen bits of Cobra Kai, so I wouldn't know, actually. This movie touches on some really interesting stuff. And the first one, I remember when I started the movie and I saw Alec Baldwin.
Baldwin.
I know I've seen you somewhere. I don't know where, but like...
That was, for me, jarring start to the film. It's really weird.
It's such an interesting start because it's not like it's a clean take. Mm. They keep in all of the bad takes in as well, which was like, wow, that's really interesting.
And the thing where, like, so I've just seen that. He plays Dr. Kennebrew Beauregard, who won a... Nobel Peace Prize, and then he did some work in eugenics and became
I was reading on that.
They didn't establish that at all.
No, but they did touch on it during the
film. They touched on it.
They said they did touch on how the head of the Ku Klux Klan, David Duke did touch on how, like, this doctor, like, he was good friends with the Ku Klux Klan, and that led me to read a bit more about him. And that was actually quite interesting.
But yeah, I think there's a lot of it where they don't really talk too much about his character. He doesn't come up again, really, apart from through mentioning. And he kind of just, like, is this weird little preface bit to the film. And I think that is probably the best word to describe this film. I mean, it's great. It's very interesting, but it is weird.
I wouldn't call it weird because it's just like, it's an interestingly directed film and it just does, like, so many interesting stuff that I've seen. I think my favorite scene was when they cross between the African
American Black Power and
yeah,
the
Black Power and the White Power. It was
meetings.
So interesting.
Yeah.
It wasn't actually that. It was where this man, I can't remember his name, but it was played by Harry Belafonte, which was such an interesting person to see in this movie. And then, like, he was talking about the hanging of John Washington. And that was so interesting. Mm. And then you juxtapose that with the Ku Klux Klan watching Birth of a Nation.
Yeah.
And it is such an interesting, like, divide. Because it's so interesting to see what a profound effect Birth of a Nation had on America. And I've always known about it. I was actually going to do it for, like, my HBQ. It's just, like, how it not only changed the way people make movies, it is one of the most important movies of all time in terms of, like, how you make them. But it genuinely one of the most I've seen bits of this movie, and it's one of the most disgusting, most like vile films I have seen in my entire life. And it's so interesting to see what an effect that had on people getting started up again on the hatred towards black people. So, and it was so interesting to see this, how they were watching this movie that's all fake, but people take as true. And then you see the Harry Belafonte's character, how he talks about this really true situation of this black, of John Washington being accused of raping a white woman and being hung. And it's so interesting to see the depiction of the truth and what's a lie. And, you know, that was really good. And pictures of John Washington when he was just completely burnt was one of genuinely, I read about what they did to him. He was castrated, taken out through the street, burnt, hung and lowered. And you can see his charred corpse on the floor. And you see these pictures of all these people just, all these people of the neighborhood just coming around him, cheering like it was the 4th of July. That was just, wow. That was my favorite scene of the movie, because it was such an interesting, it was an interesting contradiction, what was your best favorite scene?
This film does really well. So I would have to say I love the scene where, same kind of area of the film that you were talking about, but towards the bit where the Ku Klux Klan are all chanting about power, and then the same thing is happening with the black rights movement. And what I liked is it made it kind of seem so small, this argument where they're very similar, but at the same time, very different sides.
Yeah.
And I think the symbolism of black versus white is very, very strong in this film.
Yeah.
Like the use of black and white photographs at the end of the film. There's an American flag upside down that's shown.
We'll get to the end of the film, because that genuinely kind of surprised me. I was not ready for that. Because, okay, the thing with a lot of Black Lives Matter movies, I'm going to be honest, I've never been a big fan of them. But it's for the sheer fact that they're never done well.
They feel a bit forced.
They feel really forced every single time I see one. Like, oh, the black folk couldn't do this. But look how they triumph over the white folk. It's just like, I don't feel genuine. Every time I see a Spike Lee film, when I saw Do the Right Thing, and that came out in 1989, it felt as relevant with police brutality and the treatment of black people, like with the police. That felt as relevant. That's what I said when I finished it. I felt as relevant as it is today. His films just feel relevant, and they don't feel forced. They feel like they come from an actual place of like, let's not patronize the audience. Let's write about something really relevant.
Mm.
And then we can talk about the ending if you want.
Well, I think we should come to that later. But yeah. I think for now, I mean, the performances in this film are really strong.
Really good. Adam Driver was
I'd say some of the performances in this film are kind of melodramatic. I think in a way, the way that certain characters have conversations in the film, like John David Washington's character talks with an over-stylized 70s accent, and the way he dresses and stuff is heavily 70s. And a lot of characters, like Laura Harrier's character, head of the Black Colorado Springs.
Well, I don't think it was Black Panther. It was a
student union. Is very much that kind of strong performance, and it's kind of heavily 70s.
I know. This does take a lot from the blaxploitation movies.
Yeah.
At the time, which is quite interesting because I've never actually seen that. I would like a full movie that's just a homage to all those movies, because they really are quite interesting, so of the late 60s and 70s. And I think one of my favorite scenes was actually near the end, where it was like, are you sure? Where he was like on the phone, he was like, are you sure? And when he was on the phone with David Duke, and he had no idea he was talking to a black person.
Yeah, and it kind of exposes him. I think that was really well done.
I know. That was really well done. What else?
Let's talk for a second about kind of something I don't think many people would have focused on, but the cinematography of this film is really good as well.
It's really good. Really good. That's what I was trying to get at. It takes a lot from the blaxploitation film.
And I like how it switches from kind of modern cinematography and then switching it to kind of this more orangey 70s kind of camera vibe, almost shot on Super 8.
The scene where Kwame Ture is speaking, and it's just different shots of different
people. And I thought what I really liked was the background was very black background, and then it had kind of these framed black people in it as well, and it kind of brought them out from the background. Yeah. And it was like making a point of like, you know, there's like differences between it.
Yeah, yeah, that is very true. It's just like, my favorite movies are the ones that are just ones that take like liberties and aren't always just like, aren't really that, they're really unique and they're really interesting.
Like, this film's probably wouldn't be the most popular film ever, because I mean, it's very controversially, like a controversial topic, and it probably touches a lot of kind of sensitive spots for a lot of people. But it's really?
Yes, it is. It is. His most popular movies are Do the Right Thing, Malcolm X, maybe Bamboozled by that one. I think it got inducted to the National Film Registry last year or this year. And I don't really know that many of his films that came out. Oh yeah, that came out after. And like you had between Bamboozled and this, that's like an 18-year gap. And it's just, I'm not really sure what he made during that time. I can't really remember. But like, this is one of his most, just like, this might have been his bounce back. I genuinely have no idea. But I really need to see, more of his movies. I'm going to see Bamboozled at some point. I'm not exactly sure when. Because he is very good at not only touching on like race relations in America, but I think in Bamboozled it'll be really interesting to see like how he touches on how black people have been depicted in the media for God knows how long, like since its inception with blackface and all that. And you do see a bit of that in this movie where they're watching Birth of a Nation.
Yeah.
You know, it is really interesting because cinema doesn't like to touch on Birth of a Nation like at all, because it is an important film in its history, but
it's a bit of a touchy topic.
It is really touchy. I mean, like, it's really weird. Like, you see this stuff like Birth of a Nation, and then you see stuff like The Jazz Singer as well, with Al Jolson in blackface. And it's just like, wow, it has a really interesting history with
Oh, so there's a remake of...
No, that's not a remake. It's not a remake. It's it's not a documentary. It takes its title and it does something with it. But you know, then W.D. Griffith made a sequel, Intolerance. It wasn't really him apologizing for what he did. It was just, yeah. So I think it would be really interesting, like, one day people actually properly make a movie on, like...
I think the problem is that when people try and make movies like that, it's, like, obviously it's a really touchy and really...
It's
like,
a touchy subject. And Hollywood does not like... Hollywood really does not like touching on it. Jesus, 3 hours long. Oh, my God.
Birth of a Nation.
John Ford is in that. Okay.
A lot of people, I think, didn't really realise the significance of that kind of film.
Yeah, at the time, because like Birth of a Nation was so impactful. It was a thing that actually, because the KKK was falling off up to that point, and then once Birth of a Nation comes out, everybody was like, oh my God, like, yeah, these people are saviours. They're the saviours of the United States. They're going to bring it out of the dark times, and post-1915, that's what riled everybody up again. And then straight after Birth of a Nation came out, that's when you had the lynching of John Washington.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. I know, it's... this movie touches on some really interesting stuff that's still prevalent today. And do you want to talk about the ending?
Yeah, I think we should. So once the plot of the film is over, there's a couple of like videos of recent Black Lives Matter. And I think also one Ku Klux Klan parade.
Yes, there was a rally.
Rallies.
I don't remember this happening because this is 2017. I would have been way too young to actually remember any of this happening.
But that scene where the car came through and just knocked people over.
And what was it? It was like... let me look.
Yeah, I think
it was.
I mean, a lot of, yeah.
Jeez. Well, it included members all alt-right, neo-confederates, neo-fascists, white nationalists, neo-Nazis, Klansmen. Oh, my God.
Yeah, so, like, it shows a couple of these, and then towards the...
And, like, what... I never heard what Donald Trump had said. And when I heard that, I was like, I didn't really know what to make of what he said.
I think he said the thing that he politically said, like, would get him in the least trouble.
He said one side was bad, but the other side was violent as well. And that does not make any sense when, like, one side is actively trying to attack people and one of them are trying to... They weren't even attacking each other. They were just in self-defense. And that was genuinely so interesting to see.
And then I think one of the most interesting kind of images of the film is the very final image, which is this upside down American flag. And then it switches to this black and white image of an American flag.
Yeah,
it was, and it's like very poignant, much highlighting the, like,
it's
difference.
It's one of the most poignant things I've ever seen in really anything, because it doesn't force anything down your throat. It just simply makes you think. And that was very similar to what Spike Lee had done.
Oh, so the meaning of an American flag upside down means nation in crisis.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
The flag then being switched to black and white suggests that the war, the racist war itself, is putting America, like, in jeopardy.
It's still going on. And, you know, it was a similar thing. He did a similar thing in Do the Right Thing, where it ends with, after one of the cops had killed one of the black people, at the very end, it comes up with a picture of Martin Luther King and Malcolm X.
Shaking hands.
Yes, together. And it has two quotes from them. And I don't know the quotes off the top of my head, but it was just really interesting to see, and it really was eye-opening, and that's what I really like about his movies. They're some of those just eye-opening movies, and they really make you think.
What I found really interesting is this film references Martin Luther King.
Yeah. And this
it
movie,
doesn't
I
touch
to check
on
when...
Malcolm X at all, considering he made a movie about Malcolm X. It's quite interesting that one was included without the other.
It's weird. I had to check when this came out. This movie is set. It's set in 1972.
Martin
Luther King.
Dead.
Yes, he definitely was. He died. Yeah, 68. Martin Luther King died 68. It might have been the same year. Malcolm X might have died the same year. Okay, it's.
No, 65.
Okay, it's still a little. That's seven
still
years. It's still
a
little late to be referencing him, but, like, yeah. And you don't see a lot of movies that are really focused on, like, black people during the 1970s. You see them before the 1970s and during the civil rights movement in the 1960s, but it was really interesting to see how they were starting to get probably integrated into society.
I think also, like, in Spike Lee films in general, like, it's a theme through this film as well, but he kind of talks about the things that no one really wants to talk about, like the fact he did a film about Malcolm X is—he's kind of a figure that a lot of groups would be quite happy if he kind of forgot about.
People don't talk about Malcolm X because they don't really know what to make of him.
Because on one side he was, like, a great speaker, he was very religious, and then on the other side he's very violent.
His violent tactics, but it was kind of, in my opinion, he did what had to be done to progress.
So the civil rights movement. Like, consider is that I don't think Martin Luther King would be able to have got as far as he did if Malcolm X wasn't there.
Exactly, it's really just you needed
because you needed a villain to make Martin Luther King seem more interesting.
Exactly, and it was very prevalent. It is very important, and it's weird that he didn't touch on Malcolm X.
I feel like it was kind of odd that he referenced both of them, like. He referenced them at all because it's been, as you said, 7 years.
Well,
and it was more now, you know, Black Student Union and the remainder of the Black.
Well, no, Martin Luther King had been 4 years.
Oh, 4 years.
I'm pretty sure it's 68. I can't. I let me. It's either 68 or 67. It is 68. Yes. Yeah, so it is 68.
I believe this was around the time. There's another movie called Judas and the Black Messiah.
Yeah, I've heard of that one. I've never seen it.
Which follows the story of the CIA. Maybe we'll cover it another time, but the CIA infiltrating and then basically taking out the Black Panther Party from the inside. It's got great actors like Lakeith Stanfield.
Yeah,
and,
is Chadwick Boseman in that?
No, it's the guy from Get Out. His name's just escaped me. Yeah, Daniel Kaluuya in it, who's obviously a brilliant actor. But back to this film. we've talked about.
Did it win any awards?
I think it was up for a lot of Oscars. It won one Oscar.
It won. Okay, it was nominated.
It
won't be
Best Picture.
It got nominated for Best Picture. Best. This might be Spike Lee's only Best Director nomination. I don't think he got nominated for Do the Right Thing. He might have got nominated for Malcolm X.
Best Adapted Screenplay.
Yeah, Best Adapted Screenplay.
Because it's a book.
Is it a book?
It's a book by the police officer
who
John David Washington plays.
And you know, David Duke is actually still alive as well.
David Duke is alive. David Duke was featured in the ending videos, giving a talk.
Oh, okay. I did not know that.
Which was slightly jarring, seeing his actual face. Because obviously in the film...
He looks actually the same.
In this film, he's played by Topher Grace, who's a comedian, very funny. Venom. He's in Venom. He's Venom in Spider-Man 3.
Okay.
I was pretty sure he's in Venom.
That's fun.
But yeah, he's you know, kind of an unserious guy, and it's quite interesting to see, you know, an unserious actor playing a very serious and kind of important role. Yeah, Topher Grace was in Spider-Man. And he was in basically nothing else. Wow.
Huh.
Oh, he's in The Simpsons.
Oh, for like 2 episodes. Right.
And he's in Heretic. That's fun. So yeah, lots of bizarre movies. Cool. And he's in... I need to watch that. Okay, so back to film. Yeah, so I think just in general, it's really well cast. It seems like they had a lot of fun with it. It's probably one of the better satires I've seen.
Yeah.
I think... it's very well shot. I think there's kind of the relationship. It feels like very much like a very classically designed surrealist movie that still feels kind of real life. And what I think it does really well is it makes the Ku Klux Klan. Sorry, spit's going all over. Ku Klux Klan.
I used to think it was Clue. Until the movie said it, I thought like it was Clue. It's apparently Ku. So
yeah, but it's very like it makes him seem really ridiculous. Very like as I said,
but you do realize how dangerous it is.
It seems so
and
like
still is. Technically,
it seems so ridiculous when you watch the movie.
I know.
I think that's something he does really well. Is he makes problems seem so small and like almost like stupid. But yeah, I mean. Really interesting film for me.
And you do get to see like how the racism inside the police.
Yeah, with that character. When I was watching the film, I genuinely thought that police officer
was part of
with the moustache was part of the Ku Klux Klan. And I thought the plot would be that he would realise that Flip was there.
Yeah.
And that he would like cause a problem. But no.
That was just because it
and
is.
And in that ending
that
scene.
That is the fact of it. And it's really interesting just to address the fact that yes, we still have this nowadays, and it's incredible. Like, this is Spike Lee making a movie like 30 years after Do the Right Thing, yet the situation is still as prominent as it always has
and especially
been.
With the, like, obviously the Black Lives Matter resurgence, I think it was the right time to make a film like this.
It was. It
and
was.
Like in terms of not just like
and I don't,
popularity and stuff.
Yeah, I don't like watching Black Lives Matter movies because I feel they can really patronize you and just kind of shove down your throat.
But
that on the surface level, racism is wrong and you should just combat racism.
Yeah.
And you know, the white people are bad and you know they're racist and stuff. And it's just like that's not the blue black of it. It's more in depth than that. I hate movies that just try to shove down your throat. That is just. That's just it. Racism is bad and that's all they're giving you.
But I think this what this film does really well that isn't that is it's a good comedy like
it works.
On its own.
It works. Exactly. It
and
works
like,
on its level, on
it
a different
starts,
level as well.
It starts the film in a way that like lets you know it's not trying to be like a serious movie.
Yeah, like how
is based on some for real like information. And it's like it tells you, you know, this is going to be a serious movie, but we're not here to, like, patronise you. We're here to, you know, make you laugh and see there's other things.
Yeah, I think you really get an idea of that when, like, you have Alec Baldwin's character just, like, messing up his lines. It's not a full-on take. It's just,
it's just
see different takes, you know. That was really interesting to see.
So, we've discussed that I think our verdict is it's a very enjoyable,
it's not my favourite black
serious movie.
Yeah, it's not.
And it's... very good job from Spike Lee. So, and great soundtrack.
Yeah.
Great. Like, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah,
like, some really good songs in there. So, what are we giving it? What do you think?
I gave it a 4.5.
I was thinking of 4. I think
I think we go for that. That's
sounds... what's your two improves? I think it could do with some more.
It doesn't.
I think
it didn't inspire me as much as Do the Right Thing, and it didn't feel as inspired as Do the Right Thing, which is like Do the Right Thing was just like maybe because it was the first one I'd seen, and it was just so different than everything I'd seen, and I just felt, and especially the ending, just it felt the fact that I really liked that film was because it felt as relevant as it was then as it is today, and it's the fact that nothing has changed since 1989. And then, you know, that really made me think. And this movie, it doesn't get to those heights, but it's still pretty damn close.
I think it's a really good movie. I think it covers something that needed to be covered, but it does it in a way where it's enjoyable by itself. So I think, yeah, we'll go for a 4. Definitely, if you're kind of ready for it, and I think you do need to be ready to, like, watch this film, it's really enjoyable. It's got a great cast, great soundtrack. It's really well done. I think my only thing is, like, it just needed a bit more, gravitas, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think that's the only thing with it is it's really well done. And I think probably if you watched it at the time, it would have been a really hard-hitting movie. But, you know,
Especially with the ending as well. That would have really riled people up.
Yeah.
Because I know a bit about, like, the state of the US during like 2016, 2017. So that might have gone people really.
Yeah, we're watching this.
I don't.
7 years after it came out.
Eight.
Eight. No, seven, 2018.
Oh, shoot.
7 years now. And, you know, it's a great movie. Question is, how much longer is it going to stand the test of time?
That's like, what I was about to
with
say.
With its gravitas.
I'm not. My issue is, like, is this movie going to be like. Like, let's think about if Do the Right Thing ended with, like, if there were riots in 1989 and it ended with that. It ended with, like...
It does localize the film.
It just... It puts it on in a certain time that this came out in this time during Trump's presidency. I mean, we're about to start Trump's
presidency again. So maybe, but maybe like, you know, in a year like, we'll be saying, you know, it's
fantastic. Thanks to Trump, it's going to be, like, more relevant again. But, like, 30 years in the future, is this movie really gonna stand the test of time if it's such set in 2018?
I think it doesn't hold the same weight, but I think it will continue as a great comedy movie.
I don't think it's his most timeless movie,
but was a movie that had to be made at the time.
Yeah,
so I think for that, congratulations for Spike Lee for being able to make that. We'll go for 4, I think.
Sounds better.
And yeah, so do watch this.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe sometime.
Who knows what you think about it? It's you never know what you can think about it.
Who knows? Sometime in the future, we might end up doing Birth of a Nation anyway. So.
We might. Yeah, we might do that.
I don't think we can actually do that because. I don't think I'm willing to sit down 3 hours.
I don't think that looked great on the letterbox, but yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. I've been Edward.
I've been Noah.
And this has been La Cosa Nostra.